Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you on this Monday morning. It is 9/9/19, and we're broadcasting live on the Omega Radio Network. A special feature today is that we are actually broadcasting live on Facebook on video. So we're live on video. If you want to get to the Facebook page there and kind of see what we're doing and who we are, we want to just shout out to everybody that will be joining us on the Facebook video live. We're going to be filming this entire broadcast. I see a couple of friends out there already. Good morning. God bless you. We're going to get right into our conversation today. And this is for those of you that were not able over the weekend to either participate in one of our weekend services or to have listened to the radio broadcast on Kerm Radio on Sunday morning. And so we will get into that. And I do want to jump into it. But I also want to make mention that as we are in the ninth day of September, that our Feast of Tabernacle celebration is going to begin on October 13th. So we're talking about 32 days away right now from when we will be gathering together for 7 days right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. I want to cordially invite all of you that are tuned in to be a part of that great celebration. Once again, our dear friend Daniel Seckham will be joining us all the way from Australia. He's going to make a secondary trip to come out here to be one of our special guest speakers. And what we're going to be doing, for those of you who don't know, is gathering together. As many of God's kids that want to do it, we're going to gather together. We're going to provide a place up on the Ark where there'll be a beautiful tent. There'll be meals served every day. There'll be lunch after our morning services, and then time to just break bread and fellowship and commune along the way. And then, of course, every evening, we'll be over in our ministry center in Bella Vista, where we will be hopefully live streaming the event, and we'll be able to get, for those that aren't able to be here properly, to kind of connect with us what we're doing live during the Feast of Tabernacles. And we've got some excellent speakers in our own ministry at New Wine Ministry, some very talented teachers and prophetic voices, both male and female, that we want to release this year. So if you can consider 7 days of a feast, okay, but look at the spiritual side of the feast, first of all. I mean, imagine gathering Sunday night, October 13th, for a welcome time where we all gather together and really welcome in the presence of God and realize that we have showed up because of his invitation to come to his feast. And there we are. We're coming together Sunday night, and that's where I'm going to kick things off and just greet everybody and present a message about the Feast of Tabernacles. And then imagine Monday morning, you're up and at them nice and early. You're getting your cup of coffee, a little thing of fruit, whatever. You're gathering over on the Ark in Decatur, Arkansas, which will be groomed beautifully as it always is. There'll be a beautiful tent with chairs under the tent and expecting good weather. If not, we have the warehouse, but I'm sure it's going to be perfect weather. And then there'll be a guest speaker that's going to be there Monday morning, and we're going to have praise and worship, and people are going to be able to celebrate that Monday morning. After the service, however long we go, there'll be a lunch prepared. After lunch, people will break, and then Monday evening, right around 6:30, we'll begin our first evening service over at the Bella Vista Center. All this information, by the way, can be found on our website. If you haven't been there yet, it is the nwmglobal.org. That's nwmglobal.org. Hello, Patty. Good to see you back out there on Facebook land. Just kind of letting people know we are broadcasting live on Facebook right now, and we're happy to do this. It was suggested that we do this, so we're reaching out, and we'll see where it all goes. But right now, we haven't broken any cameras or done anything weird with our Facebook time. But again, getting back to the sincerity of the Feast of Tabernacles, that will repeat itself. That Monday morning up on the Ark, that time of spiritual impartation from whatever word is going to be presented, that time of communion with actual food for lunch, and then the breaking away, people doing what they want to do, regathering in the evening for another spiritual feast from whatever minister will minister. That repeats Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday, the 19th and 20th of October, there'll be no day service or morning service up on the Ark, but we'll just be meeting on Saturday evening. And there are people that will actually go out of their way to spend time going out on a lake, renting a boat, going fishing, doing, you know, fun things. The Feast of Tabernacles is a celebration, although it probably is going to be a very interesting time, just an interesting time. We're excited about it. We believe that God has called us to host it once again, and that's simply what we're doing is hosting, not our feast, but the Lord's feast, inviting as many as will come. And then there are some very anointed pastors in the region outside of New Wine Ministries that will be joining us from different fellowships that will be ministering the Word of God as well. And again, it's all about breaking bread. It's all about the Feast of Tabernacles. It's all about watching things. I see my friend Diane Tumaneri is out there all the way in California on Facebook. Hello, Diane. God bless you. And that's one of our dear intercessors out there. And by the way, just in case Pastor Ken Wagner is listening today, Pastor Ken joins me every Sunday morning on KERM Radio. Yesterday was his birthday. I hope he got our song from the church. We all took a little praise break and sang happy birthday to Pastor Ken. I hope he did get the message. I'll be checking in just a little bit, see who's listening online. But now I just want you to know that you are cordially invited, and my most sincere encouragement to the body of Christ for the Feast of Tabernacles is find a place where the feast is being celebrated and get there and partake in it. And if you can't go for the whole 7 days, and you don't really know much about it, at least participate in some area where the real feast is going to be gathering. And that's the time when we stop rushing and we settle into and we present by the grace of God, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, what God is doing. And it's always a strategic gathering, because oftentimes God imparts revelation, information, strategy for the year that lie ahead. And folks, I'm telling you, there is a great blessing in showing up to our Father's feast, and that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about. So now what I would like to do, and we'll talk much more about the Feast of Tabernacles in the days leading up to it, we have a lot of work to do, but for those of you that were not able to join us over the weekend at one of our services or did not hear this message yesterday on KERM Radio, I want to share with you something that did happen. And without adding anything or taking anything away, we had an unusual experience that happened, and I believe it began Saturday morning when my dear friend and brother in the Lord, Paul, sent me an article from Newt Gingrich on his podcast concerning electromagnetic pulse, EMP. We've talked about it several times. In fact, we're going to go into more detail, and there's a reason why. And I want you to hear this. You know, it's all in the timing. Everything is in the timing. And Newt Gingrich was talking about this electromagnetic pulse. He had interviewed Dr. Richard Vincent Pry on his program. They talked about the severity of this, about the need to harden our grid. But as Paul had sent that to me Saturday, I recalled a passage in the book of Amos. Now, for those of you that have been following this radio broadcast, you know that back in the springtime, and I'm going to even just add a little bit extra ingredient to this that I was reminded of yesterday. Back in the springtime, I was reading the book of Amos, and I was in chapter 8, and I had read it many times before, but something stuck out in my mind when I read Amos chapter 8, verse 1 about the basket of summer fruit. And for some reason at that time, it was just kind of downloaded in my spirit that 2019 was a fulfillment of this passage in our time, and that the summer of 2019 would be known as the summer of violence. And I spoke those words out, and I said, this is what I'm getting out of this ancient prophecy of Amos. But I've learned through the years, because my New Testament tells me, the Apostle Paul, that I'm not to neglect the Old Covenant and the words of the prophets, because by reading the Old Testament, I glean information that I need and deem necessary for my walk with God today so that I don't make the same mistakes they made. I mean, the Apostle Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So I have been well aware of the fact that we never neglect the Old Covenant, so to speak. It's all God's historical data, and it is just a beautiful tapestry of what God is doing. And so I was looking at Amos chapter 8, and I saw these words. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass them by anymore, or pass by them anymore. And what did that actually mean? What he was saying is that God had passed by and left a little bit of judgment along the way to turn the hearts of the people back to himself. But in fact, the people ignored the judgments, the crises that would come upon their nation. And so God got to the point where he's telling the prophet Amos, I'm not passing by anymore. The end has come. I'm going to bring a full display of my wrath and power against my own people for the wickedness of their hearts. And then in verse 3, it said, and the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. And that was the prophecy. And we kind of felt a little bit eerie about it. That's a hard word. You have many dead bodies in many places, in every place. And now we're witnessing the shootings over in El Paso in this summer. We've seen Odessa, Dayton, Ohio. And now the massive storm that hit in the Bahamas, where there are many dead bodies throughout that entire archipelago, which is just a constant of islands that are there, over 700 islands. They call that an archipelago. And so we're seeing these prophecy, or this prophecy, begin to be fulfilled in 2019, and we're still in the summer. And what has kind of been further downloaded in my spirit is that that was the immediate forecast, and yet there's an extended forecast in this prophecy, which I believe what God is saying is that what we're seeing in our nation, which is very painful, it hurts deeply to witness and watch what's going on in our country and around the world. Why? Because we all want peace. We all want joy. We all want to have a beautiful life. And yet there are people that desire the same thing, that have plans and they have, you know, dreams, but they're being cut short by this violence or by these storms or by all the different things that are happening. And it's happening in a quickened manner right now. It's an intensification of the labor pain, so to speak. But what happened Saturday was Paul sent me this Newt Gingrich understanding about electromagnetic pulse. And I remembered this verse in Amos chapter 8, all the way down in verse 9. And it says there in Amos 8:9, And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. Now listen. And I will darken the earth in the clear day. Now this is God speaking prophetically. He will darken the earth in the clear day. So I looked up the word clear, and it's the word or in the Hebrew. And what it actually means in the illumination, the day of illumination, or in the day of happiness, bright, clear day. Now, for example, on August 3rd, 2019, there was a shooting in El Paso. And it was a beautiful, sunny day. It was the middle of summer. People were walking around in their summer clothing. Remember the dream that we had the day before about a mall shooting? Saw it clear as crystal. It happened on television. And on that clear, bright, happy day, as people were shopping, getting ready for the school year ahead, a tragedy took place. But this is very interesting in this prophecy, because here, again, God is saying that I will darken the earth in the day of brightness and happiness and clarity, the day of light, the day of illumination, when everybody's going about their business. What is God saying? He's going to darken the earth. Well, that word darken there in the Hebrew is the kashak, and that kashak means to cause darkness, to be dark, to be surrounded with darkness. And it's basically just that very simple, withholding light. Well, what was interesting, as Paul had sent me Newt Gingrich's warning once again with the doctor, Richard Vincent Pryor, that this EMP is a danger. It's a threat to our country and the rest of the world. Well, I went back 28 years ago when Patricia and I were in Zarephath, New Jersey. And while we were on a radio broadcast in Zarephath, New Jersey, I had shared a vision that I had had. And again, maybe I count on one hand how many visions, count on one hand how many dreams, but when they come, they're very real. And in back in 1992, when I had this vision, I was taken up into space. It was very dark. I began to descend. I could make out our planet. As I continued to descend, I could make out the North American continent. And as I continued to descend, everything was dark, except there was a little light here and a little light there and a little light here. I've shared this many times. I know it like the back of my hand. And then I landed somewhere, what I believe to be Boston, and the atmosphere was charcoal gray, the only way to describe it, like Russia had taken over the United States or something like that. And everybody was very fearful, but these little lights were on. And a man walking, terribly afraid, through the cobblestone streets, I could hear the echoing of his steps, knocked on one of the doors where the light was. A man of God answered the door. He was like an X-ray machine. He was just reading the man in front of him, and immediately he discerned that that man had been playing games with God, that he was very carnal, very fleshly, but he was terrified, and he just wanted to come in to save his flesh. But then the Lord took me into the living room of that house. There was a golden flask of oil open. There was music I had never heard before, so angelic and beautiful. A person was laying on a couch. Seven or eight people were in the living room laying hands, healing the person, and the glory of God was there. The man of God knew that if he let the carnal Christian walk through the door, he would quench the spirit, so the door was shut to that man. But 28 years ago, I didn't understand why the earth was dark. I didn't understand why there was just a little light here and a little light there. I had no conception of EMP or CME. And by the way, an electromagnetic pulse could take place by a nuclear weapon detonated 300 miles above our heads. Or if it fits into the Amos prophecy, God is going to darken the earth in the clear day. You know, that would just require simply God taking one of the weapons of his mass destruction, the sun, and releasing a solar flare, which we call scientifically a CME or a coronal mass ejection. I mean, that's not a big deal for God. He did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah by comets, by the way. You know, the comets is what destroyed them. And there's a whole historical data download in the Old Testament how God employed the weapons of his wrath. So we should be very careful about thinking that these things can only happen if man does them. It's not necessarily true. We also know that God has the weapons of his indignation, when we read in the book of Isaiah, he literally says the weapons of his indignation. He was talking about the Assyrians. So God can use, you know, the Al-Qaeda's today, the ISIS today, the Islamic terror cells today. He could use anything he wants to accomplish his will. And I'm just concerned that the book of Amos, chapter 8 prophecy that illuminated. Now, 2 months, I was told, before I ever brought this prophecy to the airwaves, 2 months prior, a woman in Minnesota was telling our friends in South Dakota about the Amos 8 prophecy. And she, according to my understanding and recollection, told the people in South Dakota, it's coming. The Amos chapter 8 prophecy is coming and ready to be fulfilled. So, it's here. Is the extended forecast, now watch this, this is really kind of eerie, is the extended Amos chapter 8 forecast, the immediate forecast has begun. I mean, you cannot doubt the largest storm ever to hit the Bahamas, to sit over it at 1 mile per hour, to do the damage it did. I mean, that's violence. I mean, we see violence down in Venezuela. Again, we see violence in Hong Kong. There's huge protests going on down there right now. They are becoming violent. And it's very interesting around the world, the violence. It has begun. I believe 2019 started this prophetic word. But in the elongation of it, in the extended forecast, is there a sign that God will darken the earth through the weapons of his indignation, whether they be sun, moon, or stars, or comets, asteroids, or meteorites, or nuclear weapons, whatever they are, is God forecasting a dark earth? Well, he certainly said it. And now I want to bring to your attention, and I'm so glad I could do this on the air right now. This is a book, and I think you all could see it. And I'm going to read the title to you. It simply says, The End of the Power Grid in 2016, with a big question mark. And the writer of this book went into extensive detail to get some very powerful factual evidence or information out to anybody that had an ear to hear about electromagnetic pulse, the end of the power grid in 2016. And what it says is America's chaotic 2016 election is set to create the most devastating power grid crises our country has ever faced, and why Obama's war on the grid will continue no matter who wins the election. Interesting. Now, here's somebody, and again, everything is in the timing. The 2016 election with Donald Trump and all that stuff that went on there was a riotous moment in our nation. There's no doubt the violence elevated, and we all saw that. We saw it, and what is interesting is I think he's about 4 years off, and I believe, and I'm so thankful that he had the question mark there, because it was the possibility, the potential, that these things that he wrote about would actually begin in 2016 in that election. But guess what? There's a 2020 election coming up right now. And all of our politicians and high-powered people and scientific community are talking about, once again, the end of the power grid. We just had a little bit of an experience here in Northwest Arkansas, and we understood what it would be like, the inconveniences without power. But you can imagine what the people in the Bahamas or in Puerto Rico a year and a half ago had to go through without power. It is a brutal, brutal reality. And if you don't get outside resources coming in, you don't survive. Those people in the Bahamas right now are completely dependent upon food and water coming from outside resources. And that's why you want to definitely hook up with a really good, I think Franklin Graham Samaritan's Purse is probably one of the great ones, because they're doing it in the honor of the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe people should really give into that. We are doing it as New Wine Ministries. We're going to be sending a gift as well, and it's coming from our church that has given offerings for that specific purpose. So we're going to be doing that. You should do the same. We need to help them. They need the help. But the time will come when this happens. When this happens, there won't be any outside help. And so what I would like to do for a few moments today is get into this again. I did a one-week series about 4 years ago. Very interesting, because this article had come to me by then. And I did it on Kerm Radio. I did it on the internet. And I want to go through it again. And having experienced the minor inconveniences for 2 days right here in Northwest Arkansas, I thought we needed to, again, honor the work that this man put into putting this out there. And let's go into it just a little bit for just a brief moment. So he begins and he says this. And I just want to be careful where I start in this whole thing, because remember, this is going back. Barack Hussein Obama was the president of the United States at this time. There was an election coming, and he knew that there would be a stormy time, and he connected that stormy time to this. But let's look what he says. He says, warning, what you are about to see is controversial and may be offensive to some audience. Reader discretion is advised. Dear fellow patriot and friend, I'll cut right to the chase. President Obama has been waging a secret war, or a secret but very serious war, on our power grid. This may be difficult for the average American to believe, but it's true, and it can be proven. What makes matters even worse is that this incredible story will never, ever be told by the mainstream media. The reason? Politically correct madness has made this president literally untouchable. But imagine if a president actually decided to use our power grid as a weapon of social change and control. Imagine further if such a president had an agenda that transitioned into desperation in his final year of office. Would the destruction of the power grid be part of this plan? Absolutely. But I would remind what he said up front in the beginning here, that why Obama's war on the grid will continue no matter who wins the election. Now, today we're fast-forwarding some things about the social war and socialism coming to the shores of America and into our country. And that there is a socialist regime, an engine that has been revved up in our nation, and how the polarization of the American population is so divided right now, it's so thick, that even though there is a President Donald J. Trump, every single day since this man has entered into office, there has been nothing but an attack against him, his administration, everything he does. It's been nonstop, and that's part of the division, and it's created a deeper polarization. We know a house divided cannot stand. So how important is the 2020 election? How divisive are we as a nation over the last 4 years? I don't believe we were this divided when Barack Hussein Obama became the president. There was a lot of discontentment. There was a lot of that, but the divisiveness was nowhere near where we are today. And I think everybody would agree to that. And now the divisiveness is so deep. I mean, you can't wear a MAGA hat. You can't do things safely. There's something stirring, you know, while things are happening, there's an underground movement ready to burst. And we see it every once in a while with political groups like Antifa and others like that. And you just wonder, what is 2020 really all about? Well, the truth is, according to this article, most Americans are aware the power grid is aging and vulnerable, but few know the real story of how the grid is going to be used to hold this country hostage in the not too distant future. Now, continuing on in the article, at a minimum, we will pay 5 to 10 times more than what we are paying now for electricity. However, if the power grid experts are correct, America could be literally plunged into long-term darkness. Now, that's a scary thought. After all, most of us feel helpless when the power goes out for even short periods of time, and sometimes it's more than just a sense of helplessness. It could be a freezer full of food that gets ruined, or even expensive refrigerated medicines that go bad. And at the very least, you're inconvenienced for a few hours. No TV, no microwave, no computers. And I dare say, we just experienced that for 2 days. And thank God we had a generator loaned to us for those 2 days to keep what we had alive in our freezer and the meats that we had. The utility companies never let you know. You are literally left in the dark. But imagine if the power were to go out for more than just a few hours. Stop and really consider it. What would you do if the power went out for days or even weeks? And remember, we're talking out of Amos chapter 8 because in there, this whole electromagnetic reality in our real time, thousands of years ago, was put in a prophecy that we've been looking at since before summertime, and we're seeing fulfillment of it. Okay? So if you're like most Americans, I know you're simply not ready for something like that to happen. And why would you be? My goodness, you're busy living your life, right? You've got to earn a living, pay the bills, get the groceries, mow the lawn, make it to soccer games, and all the rest. The demands of our modern day are relentless. So you're probably not as prepared for a blackout as you could be. And I don't blame you. Most Americans just aren't paying close enough attention to see things for what they really are. And for good reason. They are busy fulfilling their responsibilities, earning a living, and taking care of their families. In other words, you have a life. You want to live. You don't want to waste your days worrying about what the politicians are doing, and you're not wanting to be involved in all that. So you keep on up on the short of things. But ultimately, I mean, in other words, you're listening to the little things going on, but you don't want to be involved in this. You're just busy living your life. And life just happens. And electricity is one of those things that as Americans, we trust that it will just always be there. It always has been. So why would that change? That's how I'm going to begin for right now in this article. There's much more, but I want to say good morning to my beloved wife, Patricia Joy. Xavier, good morning, Patricia. Let me get you on a camera angle here because we're doing something brand new today. So let's see where you are. Oh, there we go. All right. So lean into that, Patricia.
I'm leaning in.
I don't see you yet. Where are you?
There I am.
You're,
hello.
You're there. It's good to see you. You're right behind there and they can't see you.
It's okay. No problem. I'll just reach
you. So we have some great friends.
Hi,
you got to speak.
In.
No. No, you're in. Just these are just blocking.
Okay.
There.
But
so
we're there. All right. I'm so glad to know that. Well, it's one more day to get it right, and I am just praising the Lord that this is so, because there is time offered to us now for the great feast, the great celebration of tabernacles. This celebration has been going on for centuries, for ages, and it will continue into the millennium. So it's a wonderful time of the ingathering, but it's also the feast of the Lamb of God, the supper of the Lamb of God, bringing in multitudes of people that will be his bride. And he is preparing that feast for his bride. It's symbolic of Christ and his church, the true bride of Christ. And that's what we're going to be celebrating, the true bride of Christ. It's time. We're being prepared as no other time on earth. Everyone that lives today is appointed to this time. And so we need to rejoice in it. And the feast will be happiness and joy and ministry of great and mighty wisdom and knowledge for what the Lord has done and is doing to establish his kingdom. And the kingdom is coming forth out of heaven. It's within us, but the gathering together will usher it in a great way. And so the Lord is looking for those that will be there so he can pour many blessings upon their life and give them opportunity to be fed in spirit, mind, body, and the true move of the oil anointing in his bride. And he will be separating the wheat from the chaff.
So, Patricia, would you say that this might be a very good time to be a wise virgin, be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, getting with the right people, getting this download of fresh oil from the Lord during his Feast of Tabernacles? Because when we come up to the Feast of Tabernacles, it's always strategic. There's always an impartation to those that participate in the great feast. And what a time for God to be giving fresh oil to his people, which represents light and a lamp in the parable of the 10 virgins, at a time where we're talking about the earth going dark. I mean, the parallels are very incredible. And you and I have been celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles together for over 30 years. We've been actually hosting it for 28 years. And have you ever been disappointed or seen the people of God walk away saying that was empty, there was no value to that ever?
Never, because the Lord drew together like-mindedness in his spirit. And the time will never be dark. It is always going to be light for those who know him and love him and serve him and have surrendered all. You see, the bride surrenders all. She prepares herself for the wedding feast. This feast is a type and shadow from the very on-go when it has ever been established to be praised, to be the feast of the incoming of the bride. And here it is now, establishing itself for recognition for what it really is. And there will be booths, and those booths represent us. We are the tabernacle of God. His representation will be within us. It's a time where he is going to download us with great and mighty works of his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and reveal the mysteries. The mysteries that have always been there will now be known.
Well, amen to
and
that.
Exposed.
Well, absolutely. And the impartation, the information, the revelation, the understanding that is imparted during these feasts are incredible. Why? Every time we as a community of believers gather together, whether it's at a church building, whether it's at a Bible study on Wednesday, a Bible study on Tuesday, whether it's a prayer meeting on Monday night or gathering Saturday for Shabbat service or gathering on a Sunday afternoon or morning, whenever it is, wherever God's people, whenever God's people gather together, it is a feast. It is an opportunity. But when we talk about the Feast of Tabernacles, we're actually talking about an appointed feast of God. And I'm not saying the others aren't appointed, but there's never been an appointment in this manner like the appointment that God had set in creation on the fourth day of creation in the sun, moon, and stars when he made those sun, moon, and stars to bring about the appointed for feast days. I mean, it's all right there in the Hebrew. So, Patricia, this is a Feast of Tabernacles to prepare and equip God's people to be able to endure in this race that we are called to. And as we continue to see that great tribulation moment forming around us, as we continue to see the world being taken further and further into the depths of this man-made satanic antichrist one world government system, and the minds of the masses being taken over by the mind control and the conditioning that goes on every day, all day long, God calls his people to separate, to come unto him, to get downloaded by the spiritual kingdom things. And I know that's out there. It's out there everywhere. But there's something unique about the Feast of the Lord showing up during his feast days.
It's an assurance for the times we are in. It's an empowerment to go through and be not fearful and to understand his heart in a magnificent way. And Jesus and his disciples kept the feasts. Paul kept the feast. Paul the Apostle kept the feast. The Feast of Tabernacle pictures a time in the future when Christ will be ruling this earth and there will be peace, happiness, and plenty for all mankind, because we will be ruling and reigning, and we will give unto that which is necessary with abundance. And the annual feasts are God's way of revealing to us his plan of salvation for all mankind, and they give us great hope. And Christians are no longer under the penalty of the law, which is death. The soul who sins shall die, but we will be alive. And this aliveness will bring us to a greater place of expecting the more glorious work of God in our lives as we go through the most horrendous times that the world has ever known. And people will say, well, we won't need to bother with it. We're going to be raptured. No, we're going to be in the wilderness protected.
Well, amen to that. So Right now, as we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles, we believe that's strategic. We believe that's something to be honored. It's not a Jewish feast under the law. It's the Lord's feast before creation ever existed of mankind. And we just believe that there's intrinsic value to celebrating the Feast of the Lord. But I want you to consider that electricity. Now, what I'm about to say, most of us are going to go, man, I've heard that before. We've talked about that before. They've said that before. That's absurd. That, you know, that really can't happen. But wait a second. Jeremiah prophesied to his generation for 40 years, and everything he said eventually came to pass. God has been speaking to our nation and the nations of the earth for a generation. And when it comes to electricity, electricity is actually a fundamental driving force behind America's decades of breakthrough innovations and progress. Cheap and abundantly available electricity is actually a huge part of why we Americans still have some degree of influence. One could even argue if it's been the backbone, or if it has been the backbone of U.S. prosperity for a century. But I want you to imagine something this writer says. Imagine, even though it doesn't seem plausible or possible, it's unfathomable, right? But imagine if you woke up tomorrow morning to find your power was out. Then imagine that day turning into a week without power, then a month without power. Honestly, what would your life be like without electricity? It's hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? And unfortunately, it's also hard to wrap your brain around the idea of being without electricity for an extended period of time, or being without electricity because you've used up your quota. Now, this suggestion here is that the grid being hit, the power supply will be lessened and people will be monitored on how much power they can use. Again, this is to control the masses. This is how governmental power will control the masses. Now, as you're going to continue to hear in this writing, this is the articulate facts of the most brilliant minds concerning this issue. But I want you to consider what was just said. What would you do if you woke up tomorrow morning and there was no power in your refrigerator, in your apartment, in your home, in your office? What would you do? You would wait and for a few hours, you'd call your electric company like we did and say, hey, when's the power going on? And then you would hope that maybe in a few hours or by tomorrow, and you'd have to start making adjustments. And if you had a generator, you'd get all your extension cords, you'd plug it in, you'd light things up, right? Or get your candles out or flashlights and make sure you had batteries. I mean, your food, you hope that it'll stay in the refrigerator and freezer for a period of time. And you'll be, but every time you open it, you lose air conditioned in that area. So what would you do? And then, of course, if that day turned into a week and that week turned into a month. Well, here's what the experts say. The experts say that within 30 days, millions of Americans, just in this country, would be dead. 30 days. That's pretty harsh. And yet, when we look through the biblical lens, we realize that the reality is there. It's all in the timing. Are we staring at the unthinkable, unfathomable possibility that an electromagnetic pulse or a coronal mass ejection, a solar flare, or some other sort of device will be used to bring the greatest impact against our nation? The Twin Towers going down on 9/11/2001, which will be celebrated in 2 days, that had some of an impact, but it really didn't impact in the depth. There was a financial crisis in 2008. It impacted some, but not everybody. But what is the one thing that would impact everybody? And are there enemies? Well, let me tell you, unfortunately, what many people in our country have done, they have made the source of our protection, prosperity, and blessing an enemy. I'm talking about Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. But there are other outside sources and enemies that can be employed against us. Patricia, again, I'm bringing this up because there seems to be something that is being communicated to us about these days. And yet on the bright side of this moment, there is a time where there's a gathering for a feast. But back to Amos, he said, even then there'll be howlings and lamentations, even during that time. Are we that close to a possibility?
Absolutely, we are. And this is why it's important to understand the promises and the types and shadows that were represented in the Feast of Tabernacles, because it will be the time of restoration of all things. That's coming about. But we must go through the various things that are going to bring a separation between those who serve Christ with all their heart and those who have called themselves Christians but have not really surrendered. And so we need to understand that these will be times of testings. These testings are necessary that we may know and truly understand the giftings of His blessed hope for us. And He will take care of us in these times. If we surrender now, if we come together to communicate all together what has been said. But these times are going to be the times of refreshing. These times are going to be the times of restoration. And this is necessary prior. But for the body of Christ, we will endure. And those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And we're enduring. We're going to walk through it. We're going to learn what is necessary. Preparation is here for us. We are not to be afraid. That is what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about, the ingathering of those who know who they are in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And Patricia, it's important for people to understand that we know this is an unpopular conversation. All right, some people use this for dramatic themes. Some people talk about these things because the scarier your information is, the more people want to listen because people are tuned into fear. This is not just projecting fear. This is something that's happening around us that people are talking about right now, and it's connected to a prophecy of the times that we are in right now. And I just want to bring one tidbit of information to people that are out there that, you know, maybe you have heard about the preparation message for a period of time, and you came to a point and you said, well, I've never had to use any of this stuff. 4 years ago, the Lord put into my heart, I just common sense, wisdom, and the Holy Spirit just talking, get extension cords. 4 years ago, I went out and I bought these massive extension cords. And I bought about seven of them. And there were big fat ones and little ones. There were 100 footers, there were 50 footers, 25 footers. And I just kept buying these extension cords and I put them in the bottom of my toolbox. Never used them for years, over 4 years, never once used these extension cords until 2 weeks ago, there was a power outage. And when we had a generator to use, we were able to keep everything alive without rushing to the store, which a lot of people sold out on things that were going on at the store. And I don't know if they sold out on extension cords or not. I didn't have to find out, but we had them. So the wisdom is to prepare. And years go by and people say, look, they spent all that money and that time and they prepared and then, look, nothing bad's ever happened. Well, things do happen. And the things that we do prepare to use become useful. And this is, again, one of the necessities of our preparation for the times that we're in.
Absolutely. These are the practical things that the Lord would have us understand and know and become aware of. And that's why you are a watchman on the wall. You are watching out for the body of Christ that they may know and understand the times are serious enough. I recall years ago crying out in this manner. You were on radio, you were on TV explaining these things then, but people weren't ready to listen, even though some had, not all turned away. But the truth of the matter is the time has come and we have prepared, and we are asking those who love God with all their heart to prepare not only for yourself, but for your family members, especially those who do not believe the times that we're in. And they then could always have within their heart the knowledge that Jesus, through you, have prepared something for them. And then their appreciation will grow for who our Christ really is.
Well, amen. And that's just the Lord doing his work. Patricia, our society is more reliant. I'm back to the article that was written right around the 2016 election, but I believe 2020 is going to be a lot more intense. Our society is more reliant on power than at any other time in history. Without it, we've got no commerce, no communications, no clear water. And if power becomes less reliable in the future, the big question is, will we be able to survive? We live in a time where we are absolutely dependent on electricity. Nothing will work. Your microwave, your fridge, your oven, your computer, your phone, pretty much everything you depend on won't work. Nothing is as sudden or dramatic as the failure of the power grid. When the electricity stops, everything stops, and its effects can be felt everywhere. Almost everyone will notice it at the same time. A power outage would cascade across the entire U.S. infrastructure faster than any other problem imaginable and wreak total havoc. Usually, power outages are just a temporary situation, and people treat it as such. They sit tight and wait for the power to come back on. Most likely, a tree fell on some power lines, or perhaps a transformer blew up somewhere in the neighborhood. But what if the power doesn't come back on? What would happen? Could you survive for a few days or weeks without electricity? Patricia, I think it's an honest question to be asked right now. And I think it's a fair question to be asked right now, because after 2 days of running generator here, the thought came, well, if this was extended, people would want that generator.
Oh, definitely.
And then, unfortunately, in our society today, unlike Japan, our society today, when these kind of failures take place, people go nuts. Katrina is a picture of what this country will do, particularly in its polarization. It's almost as though we've been completely set up for an internal revolution, a civil war, and a divisive move that will break this nation and split it right in half.
Well, without Christ in your heart and the Holy Spirit to give you the divine wisdom of what to do and to alert you in a time such as this, those who are without the Holy Spirit, without Christ's salvation, they are going to be in terrible fear. Fear that we as Christians will never know if we truly have surrendered our heart to him. And in the midst of that, they are going to try to do all that is possible for them to get some help for their terrible fears. And their fears will not be unwarranted, but under the circumstances, they will be an incredible move of hell in their life. And that is why it's so important for us to know who we serve and know who is guiding and directing us and will bring us into his arms of safety. And there are many scriptures that prove that. We talked about one last night in the book of Revelation, where he says that he would protect those in the time of testing.
The Church of Philadelphia,
right? The Church of Philadelphia. Become the Church of Philadelphia.
Brotherly love. Yeah.
Brotherly love. You have opportunity. There, the time is still extended to a certain degree. Become the Church in Philadelphia. Learn of it. Understand it and bring it into your heart. You know, too many churches are not helping people to go in that direction. They are speaking of other things that will not be prevalent in the times that are coming to help them get through by the Holy Spirit without the knowledge and understanding of what the Holy Spirit offers.
And that's because of the doctrine of the pre-trib rapture, the disappearing.
Absolutely.
And yet God's scripture tells us, like Noah, we are to prepare. There'd be nothing wrong with preparing. And if you never use what you prepared, praise God. But the wisdom is definitely to prepare.
Well, he tells us that it will be in the last days as in the days of Noah.
Agreed.
Did he pick them up and take them out of this great destruction that was coming upon the whole world? No, he kept him and his family safe. He said to look upon that as of the same. And so why are we going in another direction? He will bring us to himself. There will be a resurrection, no doubt. And those who are alive and remaining will resurrect, but those who have been asleep will resurrect first. That is not the coming of the Lord to rapture us out of here in the midst of the tribulation or the post, or the pre. It is to help us to understand that he will take care of us in the midst of it, as he did Noah. And he told us to look at that as an example.
Very good. And that should be the very calming effect, the genuine peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding to every one of God's people, everyone that trusts in the Lord, everyone who believes. You need to know that whether you live or die, the Lord has you. He does eternally. And he doesn't want us to get into fear over these things. But Patricia, there are a lot of really, really good people in the world today. There are good people in this world, but there are a lot of really bad people in this world. As I had to tell a friend the other day, it's not the good people that are going to malls and shooting and killing people. It's not the good people that are blowing up things or taking down towers or, you know, it's not the good people that we're concerned about. It's the bad people. It's the people that are under mind control. It's the people that have slipped into the delusion of these times. It's the people that will become so desperate. Even people that we thought were good people, when it gets really desperate, are going to become a little bit different. And you and I need to be preparing for this. And I love this one part of what he wrote. And this is very profound. How would your family survive if the shelves at the grocery store are empty? There's no gas to put in the car. Every computer and phone for hundreds of miles is dead. Aside from the aggravation of not being able to know what you're going on through traditional media channels, for the average Joe, his problems have only just begun. Listen to this. This is a tidbit here. No longer a convenience, electricity has become a necessity. In the mid-20th century, electricity was regarded as a convenience. By the end of that century, electricity had become something that most people literally cannot live without for more than a few weeks. This profound change has happened so gradually that very few people have even noticed. Most people take electricity for granted, and they are completely unaware of our dependency on it. Without it, life as we know it stops cold. It's all contingent and dependent on a constant, available flow of energy. Many years ago when we did this, Patricia, we heard in our hearts, prepare for the 1800s, prepare for the 1700s, when there was no electricity. How would you live? People obviously did, but we are so dependent upon it now. We've got just a minute or so left in the broadcast. Go ahead and finalize.
Well, again, he told Noah to do what? To prepare. He gave the counsel. He gave direction. And he is doing it today. And he said it would be likened unto the same. So why do we debate and why do we argue about it? It is obvious if you have the gifting of the Holy Spirit to understand and to know what the truth of the matter is. So preparation is absolutely necessary. And in the book of Luke 21, he tells us to watch, to be watching for the time, because we don't know exactly when he will be coming. Well, what does the watchman do? He watches. He becomes alert. He becomes aware. And it isn't just the watchman on the wall, you and someone who is proclaiming by the bell, blowing the trumpet, that this is going to be and is at this time happening, but it is for everyone to be watching. And that's what it is being mentioned in Luke 21. Be watching.
Amen. Patricia, way to go out of the broadcast. What we've been doing today for the first time is we decided to take our radio ministry online at Facebook. We've been broadcasting live for the last hour. We're going to say goodbye now. We'll see you tomorrow And remember, put it on your calendar, October 13th to October 20th, the Great Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to be hosting that. We're cordially inviting everybody out there that wants to participate in this great feast. We'll look forward to seeing you, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Now, remember, on omegaradio.org right now, there is a roundtable discussion going on. We're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But first, a song from some very dear friends about an awesome God. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
God bless you.